Genesis chapter 23, verses 1 through 20. Genesis chapter 23, 1 through 20. Recitation will be verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 20. Now I'll read. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. Now to verse 17. So Ephron's fields and Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, was deeded to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is at Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We have enjoyed the cherry blossoms, and now the temperature seems to be going up and down a bit, but we're enjoying this season. We know that Mr. Tomohiro suffered a lot in his life, and he did, however, find joy, though, in just a single petal of a flower, and that has gives us hope to be able to enjoy difficult things as well. Paul also refers to difficulties and how we can have hope in a true God instead of false idols. We can look at various difficulties in our lives and sometimes harden our hearts. However, we know that your word is before us and that we have the Bible in our hands, and we can be given the opportunity to give testimony to you. The gospel is something that we are supposed to be telling others, and this is something we can tell to the entire world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to worship with all of you again this morning. At this church, there's several people who have come, you know, husband and wife together, and there's a lot of couples of you here today, I see. How many years have you been married, if you are married? In Japan, they have these special celebrations for certain numbers of years people are married. For example, 25 years of marriage is celebrated as a silver wedding anniversary. 50 years is celebrated as a little higher grade of gold, a golden wedding anniversary. So how about 60 years? What do you think? What's that called? You're right. Diamond anniversary. How about 70? It's platinum. However, there are not too many people, though. They actually make it to celebrate such, gold or diamond or platinum wedding anniversaries just based on how long people live. Regardless, though, living together for a long time means that you both become senile after a time, and so they end up, you kind of, you know, would want to die at similar times, but actually that's not usually the case. You know, one of person usually dies before the other. What was interesting, though, the way that people become senile is different between men and women. Even if men become senile, what they always remember to the end of their life is their wife's face and her voice. They could forget every single thing, but they always remember her voice and her face. However, if women become senile, the first thing they forget is their husband's face and his voice. I forget it, apparently. I'm sorry, I'm just joking. But I do want to talk to you something about serious today. In Denmark, it is similar to Japan in various elements. And according to a survey that was done there, for people who've been married over 40 years or more, they were surveyed. And for the people where the wife died first, the husband lived only a maximum of like around 5 years. However, for the reverse situation where the husband died first, the woman actually lived like a full lifespan. You can see how women apparently seem to be quite strong. Today's story is about a husband who lost his wife before he died. And it's talking specifically about Sarah, who passed away before Abraham. We've been looking at the book of Genesis going in order, and today we're up to chapter 23. In verse 23, there's actually 20 verses. However, there's only two main topics that are addressed. The first one is that Sarah passed away. And then the second point is that Abraham did a lot of work to get a decent burial site for her. Speaking about Sarah's death, it only talks about it for the first two verses. So you can see that the main point about chapter 23 is what Abraham did to buy purchase a burial plot for his wife. So let's focus on that today. First, verse 1. Sarah lived to be 127 years old, it says. In other words, she was 127 when she died. One thing that's kind of interesting is that in the Bible, it says that the only person in the entire Bible, only female, where it's mentioned what year she died, is mentioned as Sarah. For men, it's mentioned like all over the place. But for a woman, to specifically tell how old she was when she died, it was only mentioned for Sarah. You can see that in God's amazing plan, Sarah was actually quite an important person. And we can tell that by having her death age mentioned. Abraham at that time was, 10 years older than her, so he would have been 137. His son Isaac would have been 37, because Isaac was born Abraham was 100. It says that she died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Kiriath Arba means of four villages. So there were four villages that were combined to form this area of Kiriath Arba. And it is also called later on Hebron. And that means a friend of God. Abraham was living there, and that's why it was named Hebron over in time. Abraham came and went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. It says that he came, but this isn't implying that he was just off somewhere and he heard that his wife had died and then came back. Actually, what really happened is that in Hebrew, the word for come means something that it kind of expands on what verb it was. So for Sarah, Abraham came and mourned over Sarah. In some Bibles, it's translated as like being come and then being with her. And he was so sad that he sighed and wailed and was saddened over her. So it refers to other aspects such as wailing and sadness. For Abraham, Sarah's existence was something that was quite important to him. She lived 127 years. And between Sarah and Abraham, actually, they had the same father, but different mothers. And in those days, that was something that was common. So this would have meant that they were very young when they would have known each other at first and spent their entire life growing up together. They would have known each other for over 100 years and seen each other. We don't know when they got married, but according to their custom, likely women would have been married in their teens, and so they would have been married for over 100 years. 110 years, likely. That's quite long. When Abraham was 75 years old, he heard God's voice, and God told him to leave where he was living and to go where God told him, and so they did. He was age 75 at that time. And at that time, Sarah would have been 65. That would have been a huge adventure for her as well, to spend 65 years in one place and then have to go to someplace she'd never been with Abraham. She, too, would have had an adventure in her faith with him in doing so. For Abraham, Sarah was the one who understood him the most. He walked with her in faith. They didn't have children, and he would have shared that difficulty with her. They would have gone through other difficulties together as well. So they really were just one person in two. And for a period of being married, over 110 years old, they would have been able to share stories of their past together as well. They would have said, oh, 30 years ago, this and that happened. 50 years ago, do you remember what happened then? And oh, and 80 years old, do you remember that? And 100 years ago, do you remember? To be able to talk about what you did 100 years ago with your marriage partner is something quite amazing. And this is who we're talking about today, Sarah, who passed away. And this would have been a huge tragedy for Abraham. He would have definitely wailed and cried and been saddened. Some other translations of this passage state that he beat his chest and broke down in tears. This would have been something implying that he was extremely sad. He beat his chest and broke down in tears. You can see just how shocked Abraham would have been and saddened over this. As for Sarah's death, there's one thing that's clear, and that is that Abraham's covenant with God would have come to pass through Isaac, their son. Many years prior, God had told Abraham that between him and his wife Sarah, there would be a child born who would take on his inheritance. Between Abraham and Sarah, there was only Isaac born. And then when Sarah died, that would mean that there would be no future children. So that would determine that Isaac would be the specific person who would take on Abraham's inheritance. What happened thereafter was that Abraham was married. It's unclear as to whether it was official marriage or not. And her name is Keterah. And when these children became older, they would have had other things passed on to them. And he would have remembered about the difficulty between Isaac and Ishmael. Abraham did have these other children, though, and he let them go far away so there would be problems. You can see his wisdom in doing so. From verses 3 and there onward, it states that Abraham arose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. So he's taking action on the next thing. And what is it that he's doing? He's looking for a burial plot for his wife, and he's trying to negotiate with the people there for it. And these people were Hittites, and these are the people that had lived in that area for quite a long time. So he was negotiating with them for some land. Verse 4, I am a foreigner and stranger among you. So he's just recognizing he doesn't from there. He says, sell me some property for a burial site here so I could bury my dead. God had originally told Abraham that that entire area would be given to him. So God already told him he would have it. But actually he didn't have anything. So now he's trying to purchase it. And he's saying, please give it to me. And this doesn't imply that he's just like, you know, give it to me without me paying for it, but just give it to me and I will pay you in return. And so he's just asking for them to sell the land. You can see in this way that Abraham loved Sarah and he didn't want to just receive it for not paying in anything. You're supposed to laugh here because it's a Japanese play on words. Doesn't translate in English. And what did the Hittites do? They actually replied in verse 6 by saying, sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. And so they're just praising him for who he is, saying he's a mighty prince, like a prince to God. And we can tell you came from God, he said. So they are, you know, acknowledging that he is a great person. Why is it that they would say something to Abraham, who came from a foreign country, and tell him that he was such a great person in front of Hittites who had lived there the whole time? It's because the Abraham covenant with God has come to pass at this time. And God had said to them, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. In this way, when Abraham came to that land, the people who blessed Abraham, then they would be blessed in return. However, those who did the opposite faced the opposite response. And these Hittites would have seen that happening and seen that if they were nice to this guy, they would have got something in return. And if not, then not. They would have realized, wow, this guy's God is something else. And so in order to get something in return, they were wanting to be nice to Abraham when he was asking for lands. They said, we'll give it to you for free. However, what did Abraham wanted to pay for the land? He didn't want to just receive it for free. The reason is that if he just got it for free, there's the possibility that later that they would be asking for it back, possibly. And he didn't want that to happen. Or there is also concern, possibly, if not paying for something and then issues with that later. However, there is a real reason that Abraham wanted to pay money, though. And that's that the field of Ephron was ideal for him. And that's why he made negotiations with that. In verse 8, it says, he said to them, if you are willing to let me bury my dead, let me listen to and intercede with Ephron. And he wants to sell, be sold specifically the cave in Machpelah. Verse 10, it says, Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in hearing of the Hittites who had come to the gate of his city. So there was meaning to this. In those ancient areas, there was always a wall put up around cities to protect it. And there was always a gate where people would go in and out of the city. And this gate, the place where the gate was a place where if there was a problem that occurred in the city, that judgment would take place. And there would also be selling of things as well. So when any covenant was going to be made, that was the place where the final judgment or the final covenant or agreement would be made. Ephron said in verse 11, no, my Lord, he said, listen to me. I give you the field and I give you the cave that is in it. He Here he's saying, I'll just give it to you for free. And he, not only the field, but the cave that's in it. He says, I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. He's willing to just give it to Abraham for free. And everyone was there to witness this. So he was willing to just go through with this and make it a serious commitment. And so he was willing to say that there wouldn't be an issue later on. But Abraham specifically wanted to pay money for this tomb. Verse 13, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, listen to me, if you will, I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. And he acknowledged what the man was saying, but he just expressed how he wanted to pay for it. And Ephron in response said, well, it's worth 400 shekels of silver. And he says, but what is that between you and me? Go ahead and bury your dead. He expressed the price as being 400 shekels of silver. And in those days, it's kind of unknown as to what amount of money that would have been. But if one shekel is 11.4 grams and 400 shekels is 4,560 grams, then that would have been a little over 4 kilograms of silver. And yesterday I looked at the amount of silver, and silver is worth quite less than gold, but it would have been still a little less than 70,000 yen. So we can see how Abraham did pay for this in one payment and received it in return. Verse 17, it says, so Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field were deeded to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites. So you can see how Abraham finally was able to receive land for himself. You can see how Abraham was determined to do this, to pay money and to receive lands. And why is it that he was so determined to do so? Well, there was a reason. The reason is that he knew God had made a promise to him. In Genesis chapter 15, it says the following, starting in verse 13 and going through 16. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not reached its full measure. So when he heard this promise, this was before Abraham had his name changed from Abram to Abraham, and he was elderly but had no children. He was still told that he would have as many descendants as the stars, and they would go around the entire world, and they would actually go to one area and be slaves for 400 years, but then they would come back eventually to this area. And it would have been something very difficult for him to believe, to have his descendants come back and then to be in the area where they were before, but then to not have land. That would be a huge problem. However, if there was land that their predecessor had purchased, then that would have been something that they could have stood on and been able to retrieve. So that would have been possible through Abraham purchasing it. For an elderly man purchasing this land, that would have made sense. If he had been told at that time, you know, your wife's pregnant now and she's going to have a child, so get prepared, then he would have, been easier to go through without having to have faith. However, that wasn't the case. He believed it without even Sarah being pregnant at that time. He, though, would have in time possessed son and possessions and land. And this land would be land that would have been necessary for him as it would be important for his descendants to have in the future. That's why he bought it. You can see how Abraham had faith. And in verse 3, it's clear because it says, it refers to how Abraham spoke to the Hittites. And this refers to like proclaim. Also in verse 8, it speaks of how he talked to them or spoke to them. And what this means here is that when Abraham was negotiating, he didn't have any intent of failing in the negotiation. He wanted to be successful. So he went through it in various steps and carefully negotiated to make sure that he got what he desired. He had such a strong intention that that is why he did so. He really was determined to have land there. However, in doing so, he was able to get the burial plot for his wife. And in the future, when he died, he would be placed there as well. His son Isaac, when he died, also would be put there. His wife, Rebecca, too, would be there. And his son Jacob would also be placed there. And Jacob's wife, Leah, as well, would be there. So all of the descendants would end up being placed in this grave that Abraham had purchased. Abraham himself didn't think of that as being the goal, to just be buried there. In the New Testament, it explains about this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents and did as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You can see how Abraham realized that his time on the earth would just be like going on a trip. His final goal was heaven. He did purchase the land in Hebron, but he didn't see the goal as being placed in the burial plot there, but rather to be going back to heaven to be with God. It's the same thing for us as Christians in our lives. Our final goal is not our gravesite or even a wonderful, expensive one, but it is to go to heaven and to be with God there. That is the final goal of our lives. Abraham realized that, believed that, and took action on it. Finally, I'd like to tell a story. In Russia, there's a very famous writer by the name of Leo Tolstoy, and he wrote a lot of very long things, but he also wrote a lot of short stories as well. Amongst these short novels, there was one that's entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Require? How much land does a man require? So how much land does a man require? A certain number of square meters? A little more? A little less? What do you think? The main person, character of this story is a peasant by the name of Pahom. And his job would have been to purchase land for a person above him and to pass it on to others. He didn't have the desire of doing that for his whole life. He wanted to own his own land, it seems. And so he negotiated. And according to Pahom, he thought, if I just have enough land, then I'm not going to have to worry about anything. And not even the devils would scare me. And so the devil heard him saying, oh, you're not going to be afraid of me. So the devil came up with this tactic for Pahom. And he negotiated with this other guy, and he told him to tell Pahom, oh, if you want land, I'll give you an opportunity to get some land. And this opportunity was the deal was that as soon as the sun came up in the morning and prior to going down in the evening, Pahom would be allowed to run the entire area, and the entire distance that he was able to run in that area, when he came back, he would receive all of it. if you ran an entire day, how much land do you think you could acquire? So Pahom was just all excited about this, and he's like, whoa, this is an amazing opportunity. I'm going to become a huge landowner by doing this. And so he got ready just, you know, before the sun came up, and he was just ready as soon as the sun came up that he would take off running. And so when he saw the sun come up, he started running and ran and ran and ran. And he went along this amazing field first. And then after going around there, he saw there was a forest, and he's like, oh, I want the forest too. So he goes running around there, and then he saw a lake, and he went running around the lake, and he just kept seeing all these wonderful pieces of land, and he just kept going and going. And then he looked up at the sun, and the sun was about ready to start going down. And the condition was that he had to come back to the start line in order to receive any of the land, because if he didn't make it back in time, he wouldn't get anything. So then he started running as much as he could against the sun to get back to the goal so he could get all the land. And he was running, 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 running. And he got back to the start line just before the sun went down. And he made it, his like head sliding, and he got back safely, just barely in time. And so the people, the village, had come to see all this going on, and they saw him come back, and they were like, wow, way to go, Pahom, you did a great job, way to go. And they're like, congratulations. But he didn't move. His heart had stopped beating. He found out that the only land he needed, he only required, was just enough land to bury him. And that's the whole point of the story. The only how much land a man needs is, you know, not even a piece of land the size of a body. Because if you're cremated, you can be just put in a tiny little box. That's the only land you really need. So what is this story teaching? It's from an aspect of faith. It teaches us that our final goal is not a place on earth. It's not a field or a piece of land, but it's heaven. And that we are to live our lives here on earth as just travelers, and that we're just here temporarily. There's nobody on like a stage at a play who thinks they're living their whole life on the stage. That's just something you're doing temporarily. And in the same way, we are just to live here with a temporary mindset, knowing that our eternal home is in heaven. We're not headed for a gravesite. We're headed for heaven. That's what Abraham teaches us today as well from today's passage. He is known as the father of faith, and he is an example to us. I encourage you to use as much abilities as God has given you to live out your life as best as you can here on earth, and knowing that your final destination is heaven. That is your final goal. Please don't forget that. That is what we are learning about and can be remembering today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be able to learn from Abraham's faith. We can see and remember to not let our eyes drift from what is most important. The father of faith, Abraham, has told us and reminded us that we can use the life you've given us to do the best we can here as if we're just temporarily here and as if acting in a play. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to know that our final goal is heaven and being with you. Allow us not to forget that, but to remember it again today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's worship service. We have a few announcements and we'll close today. Today we have